Hey everybody, welcome to Matt Men, your source for all things professional wrestling. I'm Andrew Zarian on this Royal Rumble Eve show, I guess. This is our preview to Royal Rumble and everything else happened in pro wrestling. My God, what a crazy week. But before we go into it, I want to introduce to you the one and only Chicago whistleblower, Rich Stambolian.
Hey, put those boxes down. You're not supposed to lift them.
Is that what you do?
That's what I do. I go around the docks and I make sure that only union guys touch the boxes.
Perfect. That's absolutely perfect. Holy moly. What a big week. We've had a tremendous week for the show on top of it. Our TikTok has blown up. We're now TikTokers, boys and girls. 30-something-year-old men. One is close to 40 and the other one is getting close to 40. We're now on TikTok. And my God, actually, I was shocked. Jonathan, a big shout out to Jonathan for hooking up the TikTok for us, doing all these videos in our chat room. It's like 100,000 views in a matter of 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
Unbelievable. So if you guys are on TikTok, go follow us. Matt Men Podcast on TikTok. Matt Men Pro Wrestling on TikTok. Matt Men Podcast everywhere else. And on F4WWrestlingObserver.com. You can check us out on the F4W online website. Do you want to talk about what we're going to do with them on Sunday? Or do you want to save that for the middle of the show?
Let's save that for the middle end. You know, we got to leave them wanting more.
Yes, always wanting more. And my God, what a week for news. We've started the week off with some really big stuff. I guess this is, obviously this is the lead for the week. And that's NBC Universal's Peacock service absorbing the WWE. NBC Universal has struck a deal with WWE and for the WWE network. This is big stuff. And Rich did a great job with the breaking news. I was in the city. I was in Manhattan on Monday. And was it Monday or Tuesday this happened?
That I think it was Monday.
Yeah.
It was Monday. And we did a little news segment. It was like breaking news kind of, and we immediately, thanks to Mr. Gonzo and Jonathan and the four of us coordinating, we immediately posted something. And the cool part about that is we got the story out there, but people seem to really like our little news breaks. And yes, we are on TikTok. That is for real.
So this is a tremendous, this story has so many different layers to it. I think it would be a detriment if we don't break this down. And over the week, we've gotten so many questions regarding this because there's a lot of in-betweens here, right? There's a lot of we don't knows. So let's start with what we do know. So
okay,
what we do know is that the network is now an exclusive on Peacock, NBC Universal streaming platform in the U.S. and will not affect other markets. So the U.K. market, Europe, Canada will not affect them. This is only for the U.S. WWE Network will still work in whatever other country, you know, is affected by this or not affected by this, like Australia and other countries.
Yeah.
This is starting on March 18th. The deal is worth $1 billion over 5 years, so about $250 million a year, which I want to talk about that number a little bit on the business side of things because that's an interesting number, right? Because already NBC's in for, like, tremendous with them, right? How much are they paying for Raw on USA? It was something obscene, right? It was like $400 million a year.
Yeah, but they've always had, like, NBC and WWE have oddly had, like, a long history.
Tremendous 30 something year history. So the deal's worth $1 billion. Current subscribers will be transferred over. This starts with the Fastlane pay-per-view, and it also includes WrestleMania. So they are not going to a pay-per-view model for the big four, which I'm very surprised. Listen, I'm not disappointed at all, but we've seen the success of UFC with pay-per-view. Pay-per-view's not dead. I believe the Conor McGregor pay-per-view is going to do about 1.4 million subscribers.
Of course it is.
Buys, which is tremendously huge for being, you know, on ESPN+. So for perspective, for example, this is also interesting. So if you have a Comcast membership, if you're a Comcast subscriber or a Cox subscriber customer, you get Peacock for free. It's already included in your service. So
a lot of Cox
and Comcast. So Cox has 4.1 million subscribers.
Uh-huh.
Comcast, you know what, Rich?
Yes.
You're making me laugh.
Good. I'm glad. That's kind of my job.
Inappropriate boy. Comcast, 21.5 million subscribers. So already And then this on top of the 1.5 million from the earnings on in October that they reported. This is a lot of eyeballs.
Oh, yeah.
This morning, Comcast put out a press release saying that they have 33 million subscribers to Peacock, which is very impressive. Now, that 33 million is including the free memberships, right? So they don't have 33 million people paying exclusively for this. They will have 1.5 million or close to that, right? If you deduct the Comcast subscribers and the Cox subscribers from WWE Network. But this is interesting because if you look at it, WWE is making about $150 million, $120 million a year from the network. Now, I don't know if that's the gross profits or net numbers. I got to look at the number again. But they are... They're no longer going to have to rely on infrastructure. They no longer have to have a third party to do this. I believe they're working with Fox, which provides the NFL and the NHL stream for their streaming services. So that's what they had gone over from MLB AM or BAM, whatever it is now, right? What is it now with Disney, the streaming service?
Disney Plus?
No, they call it like MLB. It was MLB AM, and then it became BAM, I think. Yeah, I think it became BAM. So they left them. They went over the Fox. Now they're leaving them. They're going to NBC. This is a very interesting story because there's a lot more to this. NBC is now heavily invested in WWE programming.
It is, yeah. Big time. Like, big, big time.
Big. NBC has shut down, also last week, NBC has shut down NBCSN, their sports network, and a lot of the programming will be heading over to USA and to Peacock. So this... At the end, what does this mean? NBC, this is a major restructure here, right? Of how they're providing content.
Yeah, completely. First of all, thanks to Brandon Edwards in the chat room for $10, man. Thank you very much. And he has a question that's pertinent to this conversation. Does the Peacock deal mean the USA angry ratings reports are going to be irrelevant?
What angry ratings report?
I want to say that it's the low ratings for Raw. So it's got to be, right? That's got to be what he's talking about.
Well, here's, I don't, the report that NBC is very angry at WWE, right? Mm-hmm. That report, that's not accurate. I'm talking to people at NBC constantly because of the advertising stuff that I'm involved in. So I have a little bit of an in with this. And I'm able to have a conversation with these guys. And whenever the conversation of WWE's ratings come up, it's never this like, holy moly, we're in DEFCON 1. It's, you know what? We want to work with them into bringing the ratings up because who wouldn't want better ratings? But if you look at the overall ratings on NBC for USA Network, WWE is ahead.
Yes.
And if they did not have WWE programming on there, they would be in big trouble as far as network ranking goes. USA's not the powerhouse that they were when they had Suits and they had what did they have? They had Suits that was a big hit for them. They had Monk that was a big hit for them. Psych. I mean, that was how many years ago though?
That is true. You know what? Like, I feel like we're so inundated with the USA stuff because like it just seems like it was yesterday that Psych, Suits, and Monk were on, and also like a lot of Crisley. Is Crisley their flagship?
Crisley is probably their biggest flagship right now, which is not a good sign. But hey, you know what? I mean, La Femme Nikita was not a great draw for WWE in the early days. I'll tell you that. So they really don't have a secondary program where you're saying, you know what? This is getting tremendous numbers. Maybe we shouldn't concentrate and invest so much money in WWE. I think they realize that first run programming is important. And I think they do realize what a bizarre content wrestling is. And also, it's a lot of it is also that they don't want to let go. You know, they don't want another person grabbing their property. And Fox is really, Fox is really on top of them with this.
Yeah, Fox really, like, it was interesting the news that came out the other day about how now, there will be no mentions of WWE on ESPN moving forward.
Yes. So about 3 weeks ago, that decision was made by ESPN, and if you just assume, you would know that WWE was shopping this to everybody, this concept, and ESPN, we saw last year how close they were, right?
Yes. Yeah, for real.
We saw how close they were, and it didn't happen because of the pandemic, but it kind of might have been a blessing for them because ESPN was not going to do this deal with them to this extent.
No.
$1 billion, $250 million to put their network part of their environment and absorb all the costs. ESPN was not going to do that. So this kind of worked out for them. And I guess the deal fell apart. They were still talking. The deal fell apart a couple of weeks ago or a month ago. All the credit to Nick Khan. He has really been instrumental with really post the post George Barrios and Michelle Wilson era of WWE. And in a very short time, I mean, this guy put together that Fox deal. He put together this NBC deal. He has a ton of connections. I think that's the unsung hero of this story. And I think that's going to be the name that you're going to hear a lot more over the next, you know, couple of years to see how this guy does in this environment. And already he's batting 1,000.
Yeah, 100%. No relation to Tony Khan either.
No relation to Tony Khan.
I feel like people may get that confused. But if you really think about the trajectory of the WWE Network, how many years ago did WWE say, hey, we're working on it. We're working on a network, right? And the end game clearly has always been to have the network well-oiled enough to be able to sell it to somebody, right? Or have somebody co-opt it, right? And now, we talked about this the other day. I always pictured Disney outright just buying WWE, but might be that Peacock, man.
It may be Comcast. It may become a Comcast property. I don't think the sale thing. Listen, here's the reality, right? WWE is getting about $3 million in TV rights a year. The company's projected evaluation is sitting around $6.5 million, right? $6 million, $6.5 million.
Mm-hmm.
I don't. It's not, if I'm Vince, if I'm WWE, I would not sell it because you're already generating all this revenue with more possibilities to generate revenue. $6 million for WWE is not really a blockbuster sale number, but they're getting $3 million in TV rights. That's unbelievable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty nuts.
I mean, I think people don't really realize what a juggernaut of a TV property WWE has become. And you know, this is leading to a lot of stuff, and this is there's a lot of interest here for how this deal was put together. 5 years, securing, you know, till 2025. They've done a very good job at this, and I think this is only a positive, and I'll tell you why. You know, it was interesting the comments from this, right, from the deal being put together, because you got it too, because you did the breaking news update. But when you look at the comments, I saw a lot of people saying, you know what, this sucks. I want to cancel my network. I don't want to be forced into signing up for this service. It was a bizarre reaction I saw from this.
Very knee-jerk reaction.
And I wrote to, and it's like, I never respond to that because it was so ridiculous, but there was so many of them. One guy wrote, I want to pay for WWE. I don't care for all the other stuff. I don't want to be forced to pay for that. And the way that I looked at it is, dude, you pay for cable or whatever. If you're watching Raw live, you're paying for something to watch it live, right? You're either paying for cable or you're paying for YouTube TV or whatever, streaming service. Mm-hmm. You're not, and you're paying $50 or $60 to watch that one show, if that's your argument.
Right.
That's just how it is, dude. It's you're getting more. You don't have to watch the other stuff. Fine, whatever. It's just a bizarre argument that you're being forced to come in contact with the office.
But that's, you know what that is? That's, I'll tell you who those fans are. Those are the guys that eat, sleep, and breathe wrestling. Like whenever we go to wrestling shows and we're waiting at the train station, those are the dudes who are covered head to toe in wrestling gear and paraphernalia, who like all they care about and all they watch is pro wrestling. So of course they're not going to care about The Office. They're not going to care about Friends. They're not going to care about Seinfeld. I think that's why these guys get like butthurt, because they're like, well, I don't even remotely want the chance.
No Friends in Seinfeld. You're wrong on that, Rich. I got to correct you. Oh, no Friends in Seinfeld. Time Warner.
That's right. Time Warner. Okay. So The Office, right? So this dude's gonna get butthurt of like, you know, God forbid Michael Scott shows up on my TV before I have to watch Raw from 1997 for the 1,000th time. You know, I think what you're talking about is a very small group of people.
It is a very small group,
you know, who just like to get mad at stuff that you really shouldn't get mad at.
I'm surprised by that. I think this is only a positive. A lot of people are not gonna have to pay for the network. The network is going to have access to 26 million possible eyeballs now, 33 million possible eyeballs opposed to 1.5. I think that's something people aren't thinking of when we talk about these numbers. You want to talk about WrestleMania hitting over 1 million viewers? This is your chance.
Forget it, dude.
WrestleMania, shockingly, could be the highest rated WrestleMania of all time. I mean, that's a possibility, the viewership. You know, if they're sitting at around 1 million mark, give or take, Now you've taken that entry into a whole different level where you have 33 million possibilities to garner viewership. Obviously, they're not going to get 30 million viewers. They may get a million and a half. They may get 2 million. They may get 3 million.
Which is still awesome, but you also have to think about like what WWE has always wanted was for WrestleMania to be the perfect drug. That's your gateway drug to WWE,
And to
make it appointment television, to make WrestleMania appointment television, I think that's a smart move. And it will definitely get tons and tons of more eyes on the product. Like, I, for one, know the people that I know that don't watch wrestling. If WrestleMania is on TV like the Super Bowl, they'll watch it.
Yeah. So the ads, the way that this is going to work, $4.99 for ads. The ad model probably going to be pre-roll, and I don't know about mid-roll, but pre-roll, post-roll, right? Ad free, $9.99. So you're already paying that. If you don't want to pay it, $4.99, whatever, works out great. And you have Comcast or Cox, free. Free with $4.99. It's a $4.99 free. If you want to pay more, you can get the $9.99, whatever it is. But this is a positive. I'm curious to see where this takes WWE. Listen, dude, they're a juggernaut. You know, when we talk about the AEW versus WWE, whatever it is, it's not. I hate to compare the two because one has a 60 plus year history, or more than that, and the other one is 2 years. So I think it's such a silly comparison because this just shows you media connections over 30 some odd years with one specific network. This is the outcome. They trust the brand. They want to partner with you, and they end up throwing $1 billion at you. That's what Vince has been able to create. This is going to be his legacy. Forget about all the crap that he's done on TV. His legacy is going to be he was able to take this product and turn it into this juggernaut.
Oh, 100%, dude. It's, you know, like, you cannot compare the main WWE war machine to anything. You know, like, it's something that probably will never be achieved in sports entertainment again, right?
Yeah, for a very long time. For a very, very long time. So, to kind of sum this up, this starts March 18th. I'm sure there's a lot more news that's going to come out as far as, you know, how the streaming is going to be handled, how the interface is going to be handled. There's a lot of unknowns here. But there's two possibilities now. One, how likely is it that eventually WrestleMania will be on network TV?
Oh, very. I think it's going to happen. It's definitely going to happen. I mean, they've tested the waters with showing free events on network television before.
Yeah. And it does decent. It doesn't do terrible. I mean, they've done, by the way, they've aired WrestleMania on NBC before.
Yes.
They've aired shows on Fox before. So this is, and about a year and a half ago, when this Fox deal happened, I was told repeatedly that for many people within the WWE, their agenda is to turn WrestleMania into a Super Bowl-like event on a network, whether that's Fox or whether that's NBC. You know what's very interesting? No peep from Viacom, right?
No.
There is a reason for that.
Do you know the reason?
A lot of sour grapes from both sides from the Spike deal.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is all fascinating stuff.
I love this stuff. By the way, this is up my alley. This is exactly what I love to talk about when it comes to wrestling and like the projections and stuff. I love all that stuff, but like I like the business, the day-to-day stuff, because it's so fascinating to me. But if I'm going to take a guess, I would say there's a very good chance next year's WrestleMania will be on network TV.
Yeah, 100%. 2022? Absolutely.
Dude, here's a great example. 2022 main event, Roman Reigns and The Rock on NBC.
Oh, forget it.
Also, do you know what debuts on NBC in a couple of weeks? Young Rock.
Oh, there you go.
So look at this tie-in, guys. It just meant amazing. To be. And where's the XFL going to air?
NBC.
Possibly. We'll find out. There's a lot of questions.
Listen, this is making a juggernaut even more of a juggernaut. And it's mm-hmm. pretty fascinating, you know, because it's like, I think we're in the same boat where as much as we knock it, we still love it. You know what I mean? Like we can be fairly like optimistic about WWE, but stuff like this is kind of cool. You know, like, do I want wrestling in more homes? Absolutely. Do I want people to watch Roman Reigns? For sure.
I want to thank Faustino again, $10 in the chat, and Vinny, $5. I'm going to save that question for the end of the show. Vinny submitted at the end when we're doing our Q&A. Let's talk about something else right now. Let's talk about Raw, the go home show for Raw. Man, with all this positivity that we're talking about with WWE, I got to tell you, it is a difficult show to get through.
Very much so. And I hate saying that.
With so many positive lights within the show.
Yeah.
You know, like it's so bizarre when we talk about Raw, and obviously it's the 3 hours, right? And that's what makes it difficult because it's so long. But there are a lot of cool points. Beginning, Raw starts out. Miz and Morrison come out. You got McIntyre in the ring. We got Goldberg in the ring. Miz and Morrison took finishes from each one. One took a spear. The other one took the what's the kick?
Claymore.
I was gonna call it I swear to God, I was thinking Bromy. I don't know why.
The Bromy, bro.
I want to call it the Bromy kick. All right, let's go with that. But okay, cool, whatever. They set up a possible cash in on Sunday, which I don't want to see.
No, you don't want Listen, the Miz. Let me tell you something. The Miz deserves better than what's happening right now.
You know what? The Miz does deserve better, and I think Drew deserves better, and I even think Goldberg deserves better. Right?
You think so?
I do. I don't think. You know, you got to set things up for success, right?
Yes, 100%.
They have not set this up for success. In order for something to be good, Roman Reigns, what everything they've done with that guy, they've set him up for success, even when it was bad. This is not set up for success. This is set up for just complaints. And I get WWE's awkward logic somewhat. I get why the fans are upset by this. I'm not really looking forward because I got a really bad feeling about this match. But
okay.
I'm just going to leave it
there. We'll see on Sunday.
We'll see on Sunday. By the way, since we're talking about Sunday, you want to break the news?
No, go for it.
Okay. So this Sunday is the Matt Men Watch Along, and we're doing something a little different. We're teaming up with F4W Online, WrestlingObserver.com, to broadcast our watch along on the F4W Online YouTube account. So I encourage you guys, don't go to the Matt Men one. We will possibly, I think we'll do a post show on the Matt Men one. We'll swap it over. But head on over to F4W Online, check out their YouTube, subscribe to them, and you'll see us. We'll pop up and we'll be on there. And maybe a couple surprises during the show.
Yeah.
I got a couple phone calls. You never know. Listen, maybe Dave Meltzer will be in studio. I'm not telling you he is. I'm not telling you Dave's here. I'm just saying maybe.
But he might be.
But he might be. It's possible.
Dave Bautista might be here too.
It's a possibility. All the Daves.
All
they could all show up. Dave Finley. Yeah. All of them are going to be here. I don't want to concentrate so much on Raw because it was in the beginning of the week, but Edge showed up. Know what? I'm going to ask you about this.
Shoot.
Why wouldn't you, promote Edge is going to show up on Raw, right? Promote it. Because you already promoted Goldberg. You promoted McIntyre. Might as well get Edge in there and make it into a bigger deal. Or B, why wouldn't you save him for the Rumble?
I think this is a bizarre thing that WWE has done in the last few years, right? Where they'll cheat the return, like, in a weird way. I really would have preferred 2 years in a row Edge surprise return at the Rumble. That shit would have been awesome, you know? The promo he cut, very, very good, though.
Very good. Acting has been the best thing this guy's done. It changed his entire promo.
Absolutely. Like his promo was fantastic. I think like Edge is a heavy favorite to win the Rumble also, but I would have liked, and like you said before, like a lot of these guys deserve better. I would have liked a little more oomph You know what I mean? With Edge, because he's a legacy guy. Like, he could still go. And I think, like, the Rumble sets him up for an interesting program. The Randy stuff is unresolved, but Randy's doing the Fiend stuff. So you got to – it's going to be interesting to see where they go with Edge. And plus, like, he probably wouldn't even come back unless they had something good for him, right?
Oh, yeah. You know, we talk about how Drew's title reign was kind of screwed up from everything that happened. I mean, it really was screwed up. There was a whole different plan for this guy, right? Rematch with Brock at SummerSlam. You had all these things lined up. Edge really, I mean, you want to talk about a return that got devastated. It really was Edge's return. Number one, he had to wrestle in front of nobody in multiple situations. The matches were not terrible, but it never lived up to what it should have been because there was no audience. Two, right. And then he got hurt. He got hurt bad, and he was out for months. So I don't think they want to risk. I think Edge is one of these guys that they're not going to do this bizarro Kurt Angle thing where he's, you know, losing to nobodies.
Right. It's got to be big. It's got to be impactful. But then again, how did WWE handle the Daniel Bryan return? You know, like, it started out with a bang and then kind of went the normal WWE route of
Edge is not Daniel Bryan, though. That's the difference.
That is true. That is 100% true. Yeah. I got a question for you.
Yeah.
And I noticed this the other day and then we can move on from Raw. But do you think the Office broke up the Iconics because their act is too similar to Miz and Morrison? And since they're veterans, you know, they have more clout.
So they broke them up because they felt that they weren't going to go anywhere as a tag team, but they also got on this kick that they needed more singles competition and they needed to develop more single stars. And unfortunately, that's when they broke up everybody.
Yeah.
But sure.
Tucker Otis.
Yeah. But it hasn't benefited. Like, I understand they broke everybody up, but it hasn't really benefited anybody with the breakup.
Yeah, I think it was just bizarre. I do personally think, like, as a fan, I'm like, if you had the Iconics on SmackDown, their act is too similar to what Miz and Morrison are doing now. You know, like the obnoxious, like, know-it-alls.
Yeah.
You know,
by the way, while we're doing the show, I just want to say something. People are sending, I'm getting bombarded right now with DMs saying that ECW's returning. Extreme Championship Wrestling is returning. Breaking news, ECW will make its return for the first time since 2001 and will be included as a 3-hour special live social media. I have no idea what this is. I've never heard anything about this. I don't think this is real, guys. So please.
Listen, if you're breaking the news, you break the news, but
I'm not breaking that news. I don't want to see Sandman.
You don't really want to see Sandman?
I don't want to see Sandman now. I want to see Sandman from like 99. I don't want to see Sandman now. This is not real. I'm just telling you.
He might show up on Sunday in the studio.
Can you imagine? You know what? I want you to envision that. We're just doing the show. You know, you're doing your own thing. Yeah, I hear a knock on the door. I hear yelling. Yeah. I think it's my neighbor because they kind of like, all my neighbors are Sandman. Uh-huh. I don't know if you know that. They're all Sandmans. All my neighbors. All my neighbors are Sandmans. And 100%. All of a sudden, I open the door, and it's just Sandman just standing there, ripped up shirt. He's like, "Hey, you got a beer?" And he just comes in,
makes himself at home.
Yeah, it makes himself at home.
All your neighbors are legitimately Sandmans.
Like, yeah, for every real. One of
that's
them.
That's the best way to put it. Do they watch your shows?
Yes, some of them do.
Oh boy,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and they know that they're all pieces of crap. I love all of them, but they're just like. Really, really aggressive dudes.
Well, because the one family of Sandmans owns like legit like six
half
houses
the town. Yeah, they own half the town.
Yeah. It's crazy.
The Sandmans, the Sandman family.
That's so good.
Alexa Bliss took an RKO at the end. Mm-hmm. Got her ass kicked. So that's setting up even more bizarreness. So we'll jump over that. Do you want to go into really quick summary of SmackDown?
Yeah, you know what? Like, this is the first time since on SmackDown, this is the first time in Roman Reigns' current run that you kind of see like a chink in the armor a little bit where he wasn't, he didn't live up to the tribal chief character and got put through a table by Kevin Owens. I really like this feud. These guys work so well together, and they have for many years.
You know what? Classic long. It's been a long feud.
Oh, absolutely.
Very long feud. Yeah, both of those guys, and you know what? You could tell that they really like working with each other.
Yeah,
they're doing a great job at it. I thought that was good.
Do you want to jump into NXT real quick?
Let's do it.
NXT last night was a decent show. You are getting the dusty cup is still going. You watch NXT, right?
I did. Yeah.
How do you feel about the dusty cup this year?
So a couple things. Number one, we talk about this a lot, but if there was ever an argument for me to move NXT, last night was a great example of it. And not because it was a bad show, because at the end of the day, at the heart of NXT, what is it still? It's developmental.
Yeah.
Right?
With a question mark at the end of it.
Yeah, with a question mark at the end. When your opening match is, MSK, you have the Rascals. With Drake Maverick and Killian Dane,
yeah.
You look at that roster, it's not a heavy star-studded roster. I mean, they got their stars on the top half, but their mid-card and entry level is very mid-card and entry level. And it's that. 100%. It's not a knock, right? That's not a knock at all. You got you got some really talented guys. Grizzly Young Vets are on there. You got Leon Ruff. He's they're pushing him heavily. You got Tommaso Ciampa, Timothy Thatcher, Undisputed Era. I mean, you got a very good card, but it's just when you look at it, and it's also dull, like the color palette of the show.
I'll agree with you.
And again, by design, right? That's NXT. Yeah. Lower lights. It's not glitz and glam. And you, by nature, will compare it to the competitor, and that's AEW. It never stands out.
No.
I'm talking on a visual level. I'm not talking about talent wise, because NXT, there is an argument on who has a better roster. I could see that argument. I can see 100%. People talking about that.
Aesthetically, but it's not as engaging.
It's not as engaging. No, it's very static, and it's looked like that even before the pandemic, right? That was a big complaint of mine, that you're looking at this thing, it's dimmer, the hue is a little off, like to me. I don't care for the hue, and I don't care for his news at all. So, looking at this card, it was a stacked show with a ton of stuff happening.
Yeah. I mean, like, we don't really have to go through the card like match by match, but like the takeaways are, I agree with you 100%. It is still developmental. They would benefit by moving to, let's say, like a Tuesday night. I think we'd have more fun watching it. Like, I don't think watching NXT is a chore. I do like a lot of elements of NXT, and I love a lot of the wrestlers on NXT. But it's kind of interesting how, like, I'll give you a good example. Like Raquel Gonzalez.
Yeah.
Right. Like, she comes out with Dakota Kai and their partners. Right.
Yes.
But I feel like the developmental half of that is like she's not quite there as a character, and she just comes out. Like in this day and age, you need to come out on the entrance with a little bit of extra oomph, And also, I got a question for you.
Yes.
Is Kurt Stallion the name they would have given Hangman Page? Because this dude's a cowboy.
Oh, yeah. You know what?
Right?
That's such a great question. Hangman Page, Adam Page, because remember, they have a Page and there's an Adam already.
Yeah.
Right? Because you have Page, you have too many Pages, you have too many Adams. So, yeah, it would be Kurt Stallion.
They've
had that name sitting like on a sheet for like 25 years.
Yeah.
How is it that we have not had a Kurt Stallion in WWE until now?
It's bizarre, right? But I feel like when I was watching his promo yesterday, like, I was like, this is totally what they would have given Hangman if he went over there.
Yeah.
So you have like Hangman Light, which is kind of neat. The dude's very talented, and he cuts like a decent promo. And also, like, you could make the argument that NXT is like the quote unquote wrestling show.
Yeah, dude, it is. You know? There's nothing. And again, when I'm saying that the visuals are off, and I'm not saying they should change it because of AEW. I'm right. saying to the layman. I'm not talking about us. I'm talking about to the layman, to the guy that's right. channel surfing. Mm-hmm. When you see NXT and then you see AEW, for whatever reason, you fall into this thing and you want to see it, you're going to look at AEW and say, my God, this looks like a way better, bigger production because it's brighter. The color, it's aesthetically. If I'm putting yeah. next to two of them next to each other, you're going to gravitate towards AEW. And I'm not, and that's not fair for the product of NXT because the product is really good. It's a great wrestling show. It's a very solid. Good wrestling show. And these guys are very talented on the card. And you could see that they're growing. And a lot of these guys are going to become big stars. But there's something off. They've lost it. They've lost that thing that really propelled them from 5 years ago.
Do you think do you think there's like the subtext of it being slightly overproduced because now it's a 2 hour show on cable television as opposed to an hour show on the network?
It could be. I don't think it's overproduced at all. I just think that they have a lot of things. You know, when you have a 1 hour show, mm-hmm. you're able to protect the talent because you have less talent on TV. So now not only did you take people away, you took the Matt Riddles away. Who did they move up? They moved up. Who the last move up, Rich?
Matt Riddle,
Keith Lee, Ricochet, right? Ricochet's another name.
Yeah, Ricochet, Apollo. Like, I feel like those guys kind of Aleister Black. Those guys kind of moved up around the same time.
Now let's play with this. Aleister Black, Andrade, Keith Lee. I'm sorry, Aleister Black, Keith Lee, Matt Riddle, and Aleister. Aleister, Keith Lee.
Jeez.
My brain just stopped, dude. Matt Riddle and Ricochet. Uh-huh. If those four guys were in NXT right now, we would be having a very different conversation about the product on TV.
Oh, straight up.
Very different conversation.
Isn't it also bizarre that they initially wanted to bring up Gargano and Ciampa, and they did it a couple of times to the main roster, and now it's just like, nope, you know what, you guys are the foundation of NXT at this point, which is great. Again, that adds to the depth of their amazing roster. The end of the show yesterday was also fantastic with Balor. Do you think this is headed towards a super faction with Balor and the Undisputed Era?
I'm into this.
Yeah. The actual Balor Club?
Yeah. Maybe they could do something like that. I don't know. They got such great talent on there. And again, AEW, they have a ton of green talent too on their TV. Tons.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they're both up-and-coming products. I just feel that NXT has exposed themselves a little bit more than AEW has. And that has to do with production. Doesn't have anything to do with the talent or who they have on TV. I think they both have green talent on TV. They both, you know, there was a lot of stuff on the AEW show, which we'll talk about, that I was like, you know what? You kind of see through it. You kind of see some of these issues. But AEW does a much better job at masking these issues.
Very, very much a ECW vibe from the production sometimes. You know how Paulie would really do a great job of showing the good sides of a performance as opposed to the holes in it.
Yeah. Yeah. We had the Pete Dunne run-in that you talked about, Balor and Undisputed Era. Is it a super faction? Let's see where they go with this. I'm very excited to see where this goes. Also, Toni Storm. I really want to see Toni Storm win that title.
100%.
Right? I think we all agree on this, that Toni Storm should win that champion, the women's NXT title.
Agreed.
Agreed. Good. All right. Excellent.
Signing off.
Okay. All right, guys. See you later. AEW last night started off with a tremendous technical issue where nearly everybody missed the Eddie Kingston Lance Archer match because the service went out. The satellite truck.
Crazy, right?
Yeah, it happens. It happens. Eddie Kingston did defeat Lance Archer. I did not get a chance to go back and see it, but I was told that it was a very good match. Moxley loves morning sex. That's another.
Who doesn't?
Who doesn't? We learned that. Ryan Nemeth was on. Dolph Ziggler's brother. Dude, it was actually, he's his brother, but he looks just like him.
They look so much alike. I wish they called him like Zork Durgler.
Zork Durgler?
Yeah, Zerk Durgler.
Hangman Page, whatever, it was fine. Matt Hardy thinks Page is homeless.
Listen, homeless Hangman Page has a great ring to it.
He's so mopey.
I love it. I love it. I love mopey Hangman. Is he still a drunk? Or is he just dealing with his demons now?
He's just dealing with his demons. He's a sad boy, you know? He's just a sad dude just walking around. It's all right.
I dig it, man.
I like sad Hangman. Okay, what did you think of the Jungle Boy and Dax Harwood match?
Oh, 17 stars. I loved it.
You loved,
I loved it? It was the best match Jungle Boy has ever had. Amazing TV match. I feel like all the elements were there for a classic pro wrestling battle. You had two guys handcuffed to a giant dinosaur.
Yes.
You had Jungle Boy, the underdog, versus the grizzled vet and Dax Harwood, who looks like Wish's version of Stone Cold.
Yes, he does.
This is my little joke there.
Yeah, with the knee brace and everything.
The knee brace and everything and the bald and the goatee.
Yeah.
Really, really fun, excellent match. You can see how, like, I think it's fair to say that as good as we thought the Revival were, I feel like they're better. And we haven't seen anything yet from these guys.
Yeah, I you're right. We have not seen much. I like them a lot. This was definitely the right move for these guys, right? Their heightened NXT and how over these guys were. As, you know, they were called the Mechanics for a reason, right? They were a mechanical tag team. Arn and Tully influence for sure. And now they're working with Tully, and Arn is there, which is the amazing part of this. But, you know, really good tag team. Look at the tag teams that AEW has right now.
Mm-hmm.
They're top three tag teams. The Bucks, the FTR, and Gallows and Anderson. I mean, they got three really top tag teams, and that's not even counting
which
everybody else that they got. I'm not even counting everybody else, you know?
Yeah, Santana and Ortiz, yeah. Phoenix and Pentagon. Like, it's tag team city.
Yeah.
Let's just put it that way. But did you like the match?
I liked some aspects of the match. There was a couple things. If I'm going to listen, it was a fun match. I enjoyed it, right?
Okay.
But if I'm going to sit there and evaluate it, you can really see the difference in, and listen, Jungle Boy is a couple years in, right?
Yeah.
Dax Harwood has been doing this for a while. You could see the difference in, you know, someone that is that's a veteran at this point and someone that's coming up in the business. Jungle Boy is going to be a huge star. There's no question about it. I mean, this guy has something. It's a matter of, you know, he's going to get older. He's going to get a little bit grizzlier. He's going to get a little bit bigger. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's gonna become a star. It's just a matter of a couple years from now. I thought it was good that he got this win to have this under, you know, have this checked off on his category on with singles. Is a positive and it continues the tag team feud here. I do feel like they need to get the mask off of Luchasaurus.
You think so? I think he needs a new mask.
They cut the horns off, right?
Yeah.
And they tease cutting off Jungle Boy's hair, so that may play into something later on. But
hair and mask versus,
I don't know, something.
Loser leaves hair match?
I don't know. Something, maybe.
loser leaves dinosaur match?
You don't cut off stuff. You don't cut off stuff without implying that there's going to play a part in this. But talking about hair, can we talk about Griff Garrison?
Yo, strong edge vibes from my dude Griff Garrison.
First of all, and he stood out tremendously in this match. But so did Pillman. Pillman looked like $1 million. The best he's looked to me.
Absolutely. He did not look like $30.
He did not look like $30. Pillman Jr. looked great. Griff Garrison looked great. I like that Pillman's putting on a lot more muscle.
Oh, yeah, dude.
You know, he's getting the wrestler neck.
Listen, a lot of these guys, remember when AEW started and you made the comment, it wasn't a knock, but you made the comment of like, these guys need to hit the gym, right?
Yeah, there was a lot of young guys on there.
In the last couple of years, you see like the physique of Jungle Boy, Sammy, MJF, Pillman, and Griff Garrison. Like, these dudes are I think they're all training with Billy Gunn.
I think they're all in the and Billy Gunn regiment. Yeah.
Getting big, you know, which is a lot of fun, I think, you know? And you can definitely see the time and effort that Garrison and Pillman have put into their tag team, you know, a lot of chemistry, and they're both pretty great workers. It was cool that I thought it was really cool that Garrison took the pin. From the what's the Jericho move? The Judas effect?
Well, no, wasn't the It was the Judas Effect into a lion salt.
Okay.
Wasn't that, that was the finish. So he went off. Yeah, he went off the rope, went flying, and then he did a spinning Judas Effect, caught him while he was jumping, and then hit him with a beautiful lion salt.
Right. Perfect. It was perfect. Picture perfect.
Yeah. By the way, Jericho hit that lion salt the best I've seen him hit in a very long time.
I think that was an FU.
You know what?
I think
that
lion salt was an FU to everybody.
I think it was, but he's so dense, and his lion salt is like when my son falls off the couch. they're shaped the same too. My son is shaped like a fire hydrant. He's three, but he's like a little fire hydrant, and he'll jump off the couch. There's no like finesse. Like some of these guys, like you see Ricochet jump off the top turn, he actually stays in midair for a little bit, right?
Oh yeah.
Like
yeah.
AJ Styles, he's like going up and then the velocity comes in. Jericho's just up and down.
Yeah.
He drops like a Led Zeppelin, and this was the perfect lion salt I've seen.
Arguably, that's what you should do, right? To make it more believable, shouldn't you drop on another dude with all your effing weight?
Yeah. I liked it. I liked it a lot. That poor guy eats so much shit on the internet. It's unbelievable.
He really does.
Political. I mean, take away the political stuff. Take away all that. But this guy's been getting ragged on for 3 years straight. And the guy comes out there and puts his best that he can. I actually enjoy seeing Jericho out there.
What is that mentality? What is that mentality of wrestling fans where if somebody has the spotlight on them, fans will immediately turn on them? I feel like Young Bucks, Jericho's a good example.
Cody got it
where it's like, oh, these guys are super popular right now. F them. Who cares? I used to like them. What's that mentality about?
It's fandom.
Have you ever felt like that about any wrestler where you're like, now everybody knows who Negro Butcher is?
I don't know, man. I watch wrestling. I always say this, right? I watch wrestling because I enjoy it. When I don't enjoy it, I won't watch it. There's a lot that I don't like. But I like to concentrate on things that make me enjoy wrestling, because I would lose my mind. I would go crazy. And listen, there's plenty of commentating that hates wrestling and they continue to watch it. I watch and talk about the things that I enjoy. I don't want to. I just found a fire. This is hysterical. I got a Photoshop of a fire hydrant in my face on it.
Oh boy!
Already.
Oh no!
Yeah, freaking great. I'll talk about the stuff that I don't like, and it's rare for me to get so passionate about the things that I don't like because there's so much positive. Yeah. But listen, dude, each his own. What I like, you're not going to like. What you like, I might not like. So
yeah, listen. Don't yuck my yum.
Don't yuck my yum. Where do you want to go from here?
So we have the awesome 8-man main event, right? You had I feel like Gallows and Anderson saying Bullet Club over and over again is gonna lead to something hysterical.
It's a blatant I'm gonna say it.
It's blatant I'm gonna say it. They're yelling too sweet at each other. What a great 8-man main event, huh? Like the Dark Order has really come into their own. I feel like they're nailing those run and gun spots like big time now.
Big time.
John Silver, fantastic. Johnny Hungy, Alex Reynolds, like they're like Stu Grayson, Evil Uno. These guys have come such a long way, and I think, to quote, I think it was JR who said it, we're like, they're the home team now, right? Like, they're the home team faces for AEW.
Dead in the water last December. Dead. Yeah. It was over. They were dead, and the reason why they were dead is because that day that thing happened, who was supposed to debut with them as a leader? Do you remember? Someone in the chat. I can't remember who it was.
It was supposed to be Evil Uno originally, right?
No. The leader? When they did that bizarro, like the fake punching thing, and everybody was freaking out, somebody was supposed to debut that day as their leader. Was it Matt Hardy? Was it?
Matt. I think you're right. I think it may have been Matt Hardy.
Was it Marty?
I think it was originally supposed to be Matt Hardy.
It was Matt Hardy. Yeah, it was Matt Hardy. Yeah. It was Matt Hardy.
Great main event. I think the Bullet Club stuff is being teased for a giant explosion, which is fine, and I think it's hysterical also that every week you get like the mentions of Bullet Club, but Tama Tonga comes out online and says like it's all horseshit,
because
he's in Japan. And you got Beach Break next week, which has a very, very promising card.
Yes. Let's run down this card. So far for Beach Break, we have AEW Tag Team Championship number one contender Battle Royal. If the Young Bucks win, they choose their opponents at Revolution. Already, so at the end of AEW, by the way, at the end of the show, you had the Too Sweet happen. You had Phoenix hit the ring. He got murdered. Here comes Jon Moxley. Here comes Kenny Omega. They did a whole thing at the end of the show.
Great stuff.
And now this is setting up everything. So, but they also tease. They've been teasing that this match at Revolution is going to be the Bucks versus Gallows and Anderson.
I'm totally cool with that.
I'm cool with that too. Very cool with that. You're also going to get Dr. Yeah. Britt Baker next week versus Thunder Rosa. Looking forward to this. Penelope Ford Great. And Kip Sabian's wedding featuring Miro as the best man. You got Kenny Omega and the Good Brothers versus Jon Moxley, Pac, and Rey Fénix. Pac cut a phenomenal promo yesterday.
Where was he? He was. It looked like he was in front of a museum he got kicked out of.
Yeah, he was in front of the Titanic Museum in Ireland,
mm-hmm.
and he was just hanging out there. I don't know. He just went to Ireland for some reason, and he's like, I want to see the Titanic Museum. He was in Northern Ireland. He was just hanging out.
It also looks like he's cutting those promos in front of like an old-timey orphanage.
He's great, man. The freaking guy's awesome. Love him.
Intense. Super believable. Yeah. I think at some point this dude's going to get a run with that belt. Do you think, and now that this roster is expanding, do you think there needs to be a trios title at some point? There's a lot of trios going on.
The trios title was supposed to debut. They were going to announce it for the Jericho Cruise this January. So remember, the cruise was supposed to happen now, right? And they had already announced that the trios title was coming. I'm assuming they've delayed it till the next Jericho Cruise, which is in October.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I'm curious how that ticket sales are going to be for that thing.
Probably pretty good, man. Like, I feel like people want to be out of the house and into the open water.
Yeah. I was talking to a friend of mine that works at the Garden and front office guy, and he was saying how the fear of like people are not going to want to come out to sports, you know, with everything happening, even in like in the summer when things are a lot better, they don't have that fear. They think it's going to be gangbusters for all these events. People are going to take life. They're going to look at life as at any moment things could shut down and they're going to want to go out.
Yeah. Oh yeah. So, 100%.
I think they'll be okay with that. I just don't want to be on a cruise ship. Maybe I'll go to Japan. Maybe I want to go to Japan, you know, in January.
Yeah, yeah.
But I don't want to be on a boat. On an older
Would you take a trip me?
I would take a trip.
Would you take a trip me to Japan?
Yeah, I would actually. Oh man, that would You know what though? Jess would be really upset if she's not invited.
Same with the wife too.
So,
I wish there was something in January that we could do in Japan.
I don't know, maybe there's something in January.
Huh.
That's interesting. That's fine. Maybe someone should look it up and see if there's something in January.
We need something to do at the beginning of January in Japan next year, if we decide to go.
If we decide to go.
Together.
Guys, we're going to go into some miscellaneous news and Royal Rumble stuff. There's some Royal Rumble news coming in. I don't know. But before we go on, I want to remind everybody, if you enjoy podcasts, if you enjoy pro wrestling podcasts, you enjoy me and Rich.
Hi.
If you enjoy us, you can subscribe to us. We're everywhere podcasts are available. I encourage you guys, listen, we're growing the show. The last month has been unbelievable between the growth and the community coming together. It's unbelievable. The F4W guys, the Wrestling Observer guys, they've been so welcoming to us, which has been unbelievable and great. But subscribe to us. We're on Spotify. We're on Apple Podcasts. We're everywhere podcasts are available. Find us. Search Mattman Podcast. Subscribe to us. Listen, every time you subscribe, it helps us out, right? This is becoming a career for me again. I leave it and I keep coming back. So subscribe to us. We're also on Patreon. If you want to help us out, you want to tip us, go to patreon.com/mattmanpodcast. You could fund us there as little as $1 per week. You could fund us. And of course, on YouTube, you could hit the super chat button and fund us already. $50 today on the show. Helps for lunch, helps for drinks. You know, it's always a positive. So let's go into some miscellaneous news here. AEW is moving Revolution to Sunday, March 7th. This is their first Sunday pay-per-view. Interesting move. I prefer Saturdays. A lot of people prefer Saturdays, but this is an experiment. Same here. They moved it for a reason. I'm not sure exactly what the exact reason was, but they moved it to March 7th. Do we know the exact reason? There was a number of reasons why they were moving it, but Sunday pay-per-view, let's see. Maybe they'll go shorter, too.
Yeah, oh, for real. Like, I think the last Saturday pay-per-view was over close, if not after midnight, right?
Close, if not, yeah, it was very late, and it gets exhausting when they run that late. No matches are finalized for WrestleMania yet. And that's a little bit telling because that to me means that there nothing is really finalized for Royal Rumble. But we can kind of see where things are lining up already. I'm going to wait before I make my statement on WrestleMania.
Because okay. You have a statement? You have a statement?
I have a press release I want to make about WrestleMania this year. Superstar Spectacular was Tuesday. Did you watch it?
You know what? I did not. I was running errands all day, and I was on the group text, and I saw what was going on.
Whatever. It was for the Indian market. I don't know why they made Jinder Mahal a heel.
But that was at the Performance Center. Not the Performance Center. That was at the Thunderdome, right?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, Thunderdome.
Cool. You know, really cool for the Indian market. That's an untapped market, too, like, as far, I think, because, like, I remember hearing that whenever they went to India and Kali was headlining, people were scalping tickets for like thousands of dollars.
Yeah, they wanted just to see him.
Just to see Great Kali. It's insane.
So here's something interesting. WWE Backstage is returning to FS1 this Saturday. They will reveal the men's number 30 pick and the women's 1 and 2 pick. Can I tell you how much I hate this?
Please tell me.
Okay. This sucks, right? And I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why this sucks. For multiple reasons. Number one, I like the element of surprise. That is what the Royal Rumble's great about. That is why it's amazing. You generally reveal it when you know that it's not going to live up to the hype, right? Number 30, they're revealing number 30 because they don't want it to turn into another Rey Mysterio situation that we got a couple years ago where everybody wanted Daniel Bryan to win that year. And here comes number 30. And it's Rey Mysterio, and he gets booed out the freaking building, right? That sucked. Two, if you're going to announce who gets what number, why wouldn't you have it be part of a storyline as to who gets number 30? So now you're like, oh, maybe this guy's going to win. You know, maybe this guy has a chance because he's number 30 and you're building a story around it. When you just say, like, we're going to announce number 30, it doesn't do much. It really doesn't.
Yeah. Unless it's John Cena.
I mean, wouldn't you want that to be the surprise?
I would, but, you know, like, I don't know, man. I feel like, so it's going to be 50-50, right? The person they announce at number 30 is going to either, you're going to either really want to look forward to it and be like, holy shit, I can't believe it. Or it's going to be like, who's the dude that fell under the ring at the world? I can't even remember the guy's name.
Titus O'Neil.
It's going to be Titus O'Neil. Yeah. You have Titus O'Neil on one hand, not a knock on the dude, and you have, like, let's say, arguably CM Punk on the other.
I know. Those are your options, right? Nothing in between. And then you can have the 1 and 2 for women's. Okay, you know what? I understand that a little bit better because you could say that maybe these two have a feud. You know, maybe it's... I don't know. Two people that have been feuding, you just do it that way. I just find it bizarre. You're wasting that 30 pick, and it's such a sacred thing, the Rumble, when it comes to, you know, the surprise element. But they have no audience, so they don't care, right? They're going to say, well, the people at home won't care, which they do. I really care about that. I'm looking forward to this Rumble. I'm hoping it's not 18 hours long. I really am, but we don't have a lot of matches announced, obviously, but this is what we do have. We have a WWE Championship match, Drew McIntyre versus Bill Goldberg.
I like the way you did that.
This is going to be quick. They're not going to do 15 minutes. This is going to be a very quick match. I'm just telling everybody. I'm not going to...
Big guy match.
I don't want to speculate anything. Because I feel like if I do, I'm putting it out in the universe. And that's very upsetting to me.
Well, you already put it out there the other day.
I did put it out there the other day that we're going to have a three-way spear off, but I'm not saying that that's what I was told, but I was told, and I'm going to read you guys this, and it's kind of piggybacks off of what WrestleVotes is saying, right?
Okay.
And this is, I'm going to read this because I posted it this morning. It's going to be bonkers. And There's a lot of ideas for Royal Rumble and how that show ends, and most of them are not great. So I'm not going to go into, I don't want to speculate if they do it, because what I was told, it's too stupid for them to do.
Okay.
So I don't want to put it out there, and I have not confirmed it. I don't think they're going to go this direction. Let me just say that. All right. If that helps. But there is a lot of elements for WrestleMania that I do, that I know that will be happening. John Cena is going to be there.
Yes.
Okay, let's put that in. Edge is going to be there.
Okay.
Goldberg will be there.
Sure.
So do what you want with that information. and play and plug and play everybody. But to me, I mean, honestly, if you were to ask me how to do this, I would say Edge should win it and challenge Roman for the title.
Straight up. Yeah.
Straight up. I believe that is that would be that match. That has to be the match.
I think Edge winning is awesome. They're throwing us a lot of red herrings this year, because they're presenting the men's rumble this year to us that it's anybody's ball game, right? Cesaro's getting a nice little push. Nakamura's getting a nice little push. It could be Kevin Owens. You know, it could be Daniel Bryan. Daniel Bryan's getting like a nice little airtime.
Let's go through the next match though. Right, next one is Roman and Kevin. Obviously, I don't know. I anticipate Roman's keeping that title going into WrestleMania as a champion. I don't see them taking the title off. But go down the card, Rich, because you listed some names that have some validity as possibilities.
Daniel Bryan, Bobby Lashley, AJ Styles, Randy Orton, Otis, The Miz, Jey Uso, Cesaro, Jeff Hardy, Sami Zayn. I feel like Sami's an underdog right here. And I wonder if we'll go with him. Dolph Ziggler, Nakamura, Big E, heavy favorite, right?
Mm-hmm.
John Morrison, Sheamus, Mustafa Ali, and Edge.
So this is interesting because The Miz has teased that he's going to cash in.
Right.
But he's also in the Rumble.
Right.
So which match goes on first? Do you end the show with the Men's Rumble match? Do you end the show with the Women's Rumble match? Do you end it with a WWE title match? Do you end it with a Universal title match? I don't know.
I think if it's a shocker, you want to end with the Men's Rumble, and I kind of want to give like a little bit of a prediction for that, right? So they're going to do the number 30 spot, right? So let's say they announced Dolph Ziggler number 30, right? And then on Sunday, Dolph Ziggler is mysteriously found beaten up backstage, right? Here comes number 30, Brock Lesnar.
Dude, very possible. And Brock wins?
And Brock wins. Brock, like, destroys all the last people who are in there. It comes down to, like, Ricochet and Brock, and Brock murders him.
Okay,
so what happened last year.
Who's Brock facing at WrestleMania?
Roman Reigns.
So it's Brock and Roman. Mm-hmm. He's not going to go after Goldberg or Drew.
No, he's going
after
Roman.
That match with Drew is supposed to happen.
Well, you could either go with Roman and who's the true Paul Heyman guy, or it could be Paul Heyman pulling strings on both shows and Brock going after Goldberg and or Drew McIntyre. I would rather Drew McIntyre.
I don't know.
You think Goldberg's winning this Sunday? Yes or no? Just a yes or no.
I don't know. I don't want to think about anything. How about that? I don't want to think about any of these matches and how it's ending. The Women's Rumble's interesting, right? Because who takes it from the Women's Rumble?
Rhea
you got
Ripley,
Nia,
100%.
You got Charlotte. Does Charlotte win this?
No. Rhea Ripley is my bet. Okay. Bianca Belair, heavy favorite?
I don't think so. They haven't really concentrated heavy on her.
Bayley, Mandy Rose, Dana
Alexa
Brooke.
Alexa Bliss.
Peyton Royce, Liv Morgan, Ruby Riott. A lot of folks are saying Alexa.
Okay.
Fine.
We'll see.
I'm excited for the Women's Rumble, but like not as excited as I was in years prior. Who do you think are going to be the surprises this year?
I don't know if they're going to do a lot of them, right? How many people? They got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. They got 20 people announced for the men's.
Okay.
So, maybe a couple NXT guys. I mean, is Matt Riddle in here? Matt Riddle, Add Riddle in there. If they have two surprises, maybe it's someone from NXT.
Okay.
Are they going to fly in an older guy? You know, do they want to do that?
I could see them bring in like RVD. A Rob Van Dam. Yeah, straight up.
I knew
like
it. I knew you were going to. Knew it.
Of course. He can still go.
It's the only one that always comes to mind from that era. RVD. Yeah, just bring him in. He's free. He's out RVD on the contract. Yeah.
And like Finn Balor.
And Finn Balor. Okay. You could do something with that.
And with the women's Lita and Trish Stratus and Molly Holly, like easily.
Q&A time, boys and girls. Let's answer some questions. Submit them in the chat room and we will do our best to answer them. MG Geek is copying and pasting, putting in our show notes. So submit them now. And Vinny had a good question too on there. So whatever Vinny's question was, submit them. Rich, you want to read some of these?
All right. Charlie asks, how does the Peacock deal affect SmackDown on Fox?
Nothing yet, but if you're NBC, when that contract is over, do you want one of your properties on, you know, essentially it's all NBC on Fox? I would say, you know what, though? What other opportunity does NBC have to have cross promotion for their streaming service on a competing network?
Okay.
Right? So if you're watching WWE on Fox, obviously they're going to be talking about the WWE network on Peacock. There's going to be no way around that. And
right.
There's no way around that. So there's no other opportunity that happens. You know, when if you're NBC, you want to promote a show, now you're promoting it on Fox, which never happens. I think that they're going to benefit from this. But once that deal is done, that Fox deal is done, it's going to be very interesting as to if they want to even have it on Fox, if they're going to try to bid heavy for this, mm-hmm. or if it's just going to get absorbed into NBC. You know, Friday Night SmackDown on NBC doesn't sound bad, or Thursday Night SmackDown on NBC doesn't sound bad, and, you know, it won't be terrible. I mean, the ratings will probably be similar to what they're doing, but now everything is under one umbrella, so you don't have that network crossover.
True. What if you get Wednesday night SmackDowns and Friday night NXT?
Oh, God. I don't want that.
Imagine. So this next question kind of piggybacks on the last one. Do you think this deal ruins the chance for a SmackDown renewal at Fox? Or because Fox doesn't have a streaming service, they'll want to keep SmackDown around?
I don't know. It really depends what the ratings do over the next couple of years. Right now, Fox is actually happy with where they're at because the ratings are growing. So I think that's a question in a year or two when, you know, the honeymoon is over between SmackDown and Fox. And now we're like, you know, there's no pandemic. We're back to normalcy when it comes to, you know, putting on a show. And you don't have excuses as to why your ratings are bad. You know, WWE kind of lucked out because they were never going to hit that 4 million mark that people were envisioning on Fox. But you know what? This might have been giving them more time to figure out what to do, because if we were not in a pandemic and TV was being very aggressive with rating, you know, with viewership and advertising, you would have maybe had a different situation here as far as who's happy and who's not. But I think that's a good question for like a year or two from now.
Okay, straight up. Moving on.
Yeah.
Batcher 3000 asks, do you think that ads will be incorporated into some of the WWE Network programmings like the Raw Nitro archives?
Ads, like in general? Like a Lug's Boot of the Week?
Like, well, let's go across the board, because like if you're watching the network on Peacock, do you think you're going to get an ad break for like Third Rock from the Sun?
No, I don't think so. I don't think it's going to be embedded within the programming. I think what it's going to be, it's like a disruptor. So it's going to be a mid-roll or whatever. But
okay,
I don't think they're going to say like, hey, we'll be right back after this and it's a pay-per-view.
Okay.
Unless it's an ad sold for that pay-per-view, which WWE does currently. If it's an embedded ad within the programming, yeah, it'll be there in the archives. Generally, that's beneficial to the advertiser and not the content creator. So, like when we do a live read here on the show, it sits there forever.
Okay. How is it possible for shows that do not get more than 2 million viewers to be worth this much?
TV's changed. Mm-hmm. You don't have much programming that's doing... you don't have a lot of programming. Like, that does like 5 million viewers, you know, other than the few that do. TV has really changed. So 2 million in 2021 is way more valuable than it was, you know, 10 years ago. It's just how it is. I don't know where, you know, is that a good number? Not great number, but there's so many other different avenues for viewership. Mm-hmm. You know, you talk about WWE and how their social media, they're number one for social media. They're like number three on Google, on YouTube for viewership. The way that people consume media has changed. And they've also, they're providing so much content everywhere where you don't need to sit there and watch TV only.
Right.
You could kind of piece it. And I don't know if that's a benefit or not. It's a new experiment everybody's doing, right? Everybody's putting their content everywhere and hoping that it garners some sort of success and income. I know WWE at one point decided that they weren't going to be as aggressive with the YouTube clips and social media posts during a live show. And they've gone back on that. So things changed.
Vinny asks, how long before WWE has their own TV channel like NFL or MLB or NHL?
Actually, that's a good question, because I think part of the, and somebody correct me out, the Peacock deal is that they're going to have a live thing on Peacock like they do right now, right? They have WWE. If you go to WWE Network, you could click what's on live and see it. So they're going to have like a channel guide of content constantly airing. Mm-hmm. So imagine it will be a channel on Peacock.
Okay, that's pretty cool. I feel like, but also like, you know, why build your own network on television when you can have other people pay you to put your shit on there, right?
Dude, a billion, 200 million, 250 million plus access to 33 million new possibilities.
Yeah.
Opposed to 1.5 million. It really, how do you say that that's a bad deal for WWE?
Oh, absolutely. And you know what? Think about the merch sales.
Oh my, it's going to do two things. One, mm-hmm. it's going to reinvigorate the disenfranchised fan like we saw when the network started, cuz so many of our friends in their mid 30s mm-hmm. decided that they want to get back into wrestling because now they can watch all their old Raws and Nitros, you know? So, and I'm not saying that that's going to be a tremendous thing, but it was 2013-14 thing that happened with wrestling kind of getting hot again, the network really brought a lot of disenfranchised fans, and you saw that early on when they would score as to what was being viewed on there. People were a little surprised because it brought in a lot of older fans, people that never forgot about wrestling after 2001. A lot of them kind of disappeared, and they slowly they subscribed and they watched again. I don't think that's the case now. Because how many times are you going to watch the same Nitro? You know, once you got that out of you, it's gone. But there's 33 million other possibilities of people discovering this now and be like, hey, you know what? This is pretty cool.
All right. Fair enough. Again, I think it's time to invest in WWE if you're following the stock market right now.
Oh, it's not a personal recommendation, right? Just something to consider.
The stonk market. All right. Ayaz, the grape, Ayaz Akhtar,
the grape,
asks, how would a broadcast network handle a 7-hour WrestleMania? Would Mania be cut back down to 3 or 4 hours? That's a good question.
Well, what time does a coverage start for the NFL for the Super Bowl? Right?
True.
Think of it that way. Yeah. Coverage for the Super Bowl begins at like noon.
9 a.m.
You got like, you really have like 10 hours of content being created for the Super Bowl. So obviously I'm not saying that it should be 7 hours, but personally, I would move it up in time. I would have this start a little earlier. I would have they would run it like how the Super Bowl's done. You know, you would have matches, you would have a pre-match. The pre-show maybe would be on the network only and not on network TV. You could do a lot with this. There's a lot of moving parts here.
Oh yeah, and I'm sure they'll make it fun and cohesive. It's not like they're gonna slap it together, you know. Yeah. They're gonna provide you with content whether you want it or not. That's something that WWE loves to do. Whether you want it or not, they will give you as much content as humanly possible. Mexican Pisthead asks, NXT hasn't been the same. Agree or disagree?
I agree. I think it's this, the going 2 hours. I think it's not having the depth in the roster that they did once. And now they're being compared to something else. You know, nobody compared. Nobody looked at Raw and be like, oh, you know what, though? The visuals of Raw are so much better than NXT, or Raw has so many bigger stars than NXT, or SmackDown has bigger stars than NXT. You didn't do that because in your mind you knew, like, okay, this is up and coming. This is something cool. This is something different. But now they are another wrestling product because they're competing against something. Take away that competition, and people's perception changes. Put them on another day. I keep saying that. Put them on another day and watch the perception of NXT shift again.
Oh, 100%. And the show will just get better because of that.
Yeah.
All right, last question. Aaron Banks, what about Carlito showing up in the Rumble? Wasn't he on Legends Night? Maybe they decided to save him for the Rumble. Listen, anything's possible, right?
I don't know. Something weird happened. He never showed up, right? He was never there.
He was advertised.
He was advertised.
Nothing, right?
Yeah, he was advertised. So maybe, you know what? Have him as a surprise. I'd love to see Carlito show up.
Number 30, Carlito number 30. That'd be awesome.
Carlito number 30.
Who do you think? Give me top three guys who you think is going to be 30.
Brock Lesnar.
Okay.
Oh, did you want more?
I said top three.
Brock Lesnar and Brock Lesnar.
Three Brock Lesnars.
And John Cena.
The three faces of Brock Lesnar.
Yeah. Lesnar, like, Cena, or they're going to do something really stupid. I'm telling you, either it's going to be Cena or Lesnar or someone really ridiculous. And then they'll wipe them out. Remember they did that thing a couple years ago where they announced, and then they did a whole cleanup. Like, people were disappointed and they beat them up and they never made it. So I don't know. Is it going to, I mean, if you're announcing it the night before, does that mean it's a big deal?
Oh, that's a good question, because you never know with WWE, and as much as you'd want it to be, like, I'm not saying it's going to be CM Punk, but as much as you want it to be a guy of that stature, you may end up getting an R-Truth.
Yeah.
Which is, such is life, right? You want to see CM Punk, but you might get an R-Truth, and that's okay.
Listen, that happens in life sometimes.
Yeah.
I wake up every morning saying, you know what, today I'm going to get a CM Punk, but I'm handed a bowl of R-Truths.
Just a lot of R-Truths, man.
A lot of R-Truths.
who also is fantastic, by the way. I'm not knocking R-Truth.
Yeah. We'll see what happens, man. All right. Is that it? Are we done? Do we have any more questions?
That was the last question. And
you got to get out of here, and so do I.
We both got to get out of here, but we'll be back on Sunday, right?
We will be back on Sunday, this Sunday, live on the F4W online YouTube account. Just search for them, Wrestling Observer F4W. You can find them there. We'll be live there starting. I got to get the start time. What time does the show start? 6:30? 7? Do we want to do the whole pre-show? The post-show?
Do you want to do 10 minutes and then just do a straight watch-along?
No. What I'm saying is, do we start at, like, during their pre-show, or do we wait till the main show starts? Because we're starting in 30 minutes into their pre-show.
Yeah, let's do that. Let's do the way we always do it, and then let's have fun.
Okay.
I'm excited to see the surprises. Is one of your Sandman showing up?
Oh, I hope all my Sandman show up. All my neighbors are Sandman. You know what? They haven't done something like that in a couple of years, right? Like a big return. No. You had Edge, but, like, I'm talking about, like, the veterans, you know? Like, you're not seeing the Hacksaw Jim Duggins as much.
I don't think that's gonna happen. You're not gonna get like
Hacksaw. I want Hacksaw.
Honestly, you know who I feel like they'd throw in there? Tatanka.
Yeah, you know what? Tatanka's in the Rumble. He's number 30.
Tatanka's in the Rumble. But listen, the winner might be somebody out of left field. Who knows? It's kind of fun to not know.
I love
it. And
that.
It's also fun to speculate. You know, we got to do the betting on Sunday, and I want to see if MG Geek, if you can put together some kind of randomized bingo card, we can do Royal Rumble bingo.
Wait, don't we doesn't that guy make it? We know someone that makes that.
Yeah,
I can get that.
I don't know. All right, let's do it.
All right, let's do that.
Get it.
All right, guys, that's it for this week. Love you all. See you on Sunday. Take care.